Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone, to First Baptist Church. This morning, we have the honor and privilege of being able to worship through baptism. And our candidate for today is Brittany Butts. And so she'll come down, and we'll take time to observe that ordinance. Brittany Butts, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
What is your testimony?
The Lord has been with me through some trying times, although I've always been a believer. I have not always been the best follower, but I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I will continue my journey. I know Jesus loves me, and I will do everything I can to spread his word and his love.
Brittany, because you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it's your desire to follow him in this baptism, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Allow me to pray with you this morning. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of knowing you by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. We thank you that as a congregation, we can come together and celebrate each one who finds new life in Christ because he has moved in their life. And now, Father, as we come together and worship, we entrust Brittany to your care. We pray, Father, you fill her with your Holy Spirit, that, Lord God, she would be found serving you in the places you've gifted her to do so. And, Lord God, help us as a church to be good stewards and helpers as she grows in the Lord. And Father, we pray these things to your glory. We pray that you are exalted this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. God bless.
Amen and good morning. I'll tell you what, it's not just a good morning, but starting with Bachelor, this is a spectacular morning. What a great way to start our service in praising our God and Lord. A couple announcements when you go through. Last Sunday, we announced we do have the assisted listening devices that are located at the Welcome Center. So if you're needing any little extra help hearing everything that we do have earphones that we provide. But I do recommend if you want to use them, probably start bringing your own earbuds or headphones if you like to. It's just an eighth-inch jack to plug in. And what you'll do, and it's got a volume control here in the front. And what you'll do, you'll pick up everything that's coming through our house speakers. This runs straight off of our sound mixing board, and so you'll hear everything just like you would just straight off of these speakers, kind of like myself, my wife using these ears, and Sheila with her headphones. You'll hear exactly everything that we're hearing. So we finally got these in, and they're working great. So if you need one, we do ask you to go and sign one out, and then end of service. And they're available also for Sunday evenings, too. So hope you'll take advantage of that if you need to. If you're our guest, we welcome you here to First Baptist Church Edna. And inside your bulletin, you'll find a perforated section here. And if you'd be so kind as to fill that in our offertory plate as they come by later so we could have a regular visit, we would greatly appreciate that. Want to announce that next Sunday at 5:30 is our church conference. Upward basketball still needs volunteers to help with concessions. And so if you can give time for that, please call the church office for that. This Tuesday at 11:30 a.m., it's a senior adult Valentine lunch. So if you've signed up for that, be here at 11:30. If you're wanting to come to that and have not signed up, you just call the church office. They'll get you on the list so that way they make sure they have enough food and everything prepared for that. The Guadalupe Baptist Association Golf Tournament will be March 23rd. Registration forms available at the Welcome. If you play golf, this is for a good cause. They use the money for several different things in the ministry. And like I said, if you play golf, I don't play golf. I hadn't played since high school, so you would not want me on your team at all. So, but if you have or want to play some golf, it's always a good time. So information at the Welcome Center. All right, this month, our memory verse is 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Okay, if on the screen, there we go. And if you would help me say that, this is what we're using all the way through February. If you would read this with me. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. And we'll hope you'll put that into your heart. And like I said, we're going to be doing a new memory verse each month, and this will last through the end of February. All right, our deacon prayer this morning will be by Ike Peterson.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you this morning. It most certainly is a spectacular day, and we praise you for it, for you the one who made it, and we rejoice in it. Lord, we do ask, come before you, that we would give all our attention, focus, and worship to you. That your name be high and lifted up, and you'd draw all men to yourself. Lord, save the lost. Please forgive us, our God, for our sins against you. Thank you, dear God, for starting our service this morning with Brittany's baptism. What a sight to see. And thank you, Lord, that we could witness it this morning. Praise and honor and glory be unto you. We do lift up to you the message you've given Brother Robert this morning, and ask, dear God, that that message would penetrate each of our hearts, and your Spirit would have your way with each of us. Save the lost, Lord. Guide and direct our lives that your name might be glorified. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we ask and pray. Amen.
We've waited for this day. We've gathered in your name. That's the first line to our first song. We stand as we sing, Open Up the Heavens.
Waited for this day, we've gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, fill our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're saved. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every heart of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord.
Of the Lord. Number 10, How Great Thou Art.
God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the celebration of a sister willing to proclaim her faith in front of brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that you continue to strengthen and help us all to do our part to build her up and to encourage each other. As the Sunday school lesson this morning about praying for boldness in the face of adversity and persecution, Lord, I pray that you give us all the boldness to share the gospel. Lord, I ask that you be with Brother Robert as he delivers a message, Lord, and I ask that you use the offerings that we gather to the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I didn't hear because I was in the back. Did you do your memory verse? You got it down. Oh, marvelous. Maybe next week we'll do it without words. Oh, that'd be awesome. There is a new opportunity I would like to share with you. Our Associational Director of Missions, Walter Jackson, has had on his heart to do a pastor training program through the association for some time now. And in recent past, there were some classes that were being offered on certain nights of the week through each month. But we do have a new semester coming up, and Brother Walter doesn't really want to wait any longer. There are some men in our association that have expressed a desire to learn and to be trained, but do not have to go to full-fledged seminary, perhaps already established with jobs and families. And so there are some pastors in the association that will be assigned certain topics through the course of the semester to lead young men that are looking to serve the Lord in some capacity, most certainly as pastors. And if we have anybody in this congregation, I know we have at least one who's going to be taking classes. If you felt or impressed upon your heart that the Lord is moving you to serve Him in a capacity of preaching and teaching, then these classes might be for you. They're affordable. There are also scholarships available through the association so that for you, the classes will be presented on two Monday nights a month. And so two times a month, you'll be meeting in a class from 6 until 7:30. Each of those nights, there will be a meal provided for the men as teaching time and some question and answer format presentation attached. And so if you are interested, please contact Brother Walter Jackson at the GBA. Let us know through the office so we can get your names down. Starting at the end of this month on February 26th, a Monday night, and then they'll be doing the first and third Monday nights in each month following that and finishing in the semester of August. So if you're interested, if you know someone that might be interested, please let us know. We want to be a part of investing in some young men who are sensing the call to ministry. And I can tell you that's just not a job that many are jumping at. The world's culture comes against the things of God, and so it's a difficult task to take on, but it is also one that is very, very worthy in the eyes of the Lord. And so be mindful of that. I would you at this time, if you would, I hope I have my sermon here. I have to preach from memory. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we're going to be resuming our series titled The Foundational Bible Truth through Genesis chapters 1 through 11. And last week we looked at the very first verse in the Bible, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And through that time we examined emphasis of the origin of all things, according to the truth that's revealed there in the scripture, established that there was a beginning for time, matter, energy, space, that God's eternal. He has always been, never a time He hasn't, that He established that He created all things, revealed by the text in six literal days, evening and morning. And those are very specific terms that it was six literal days. He did it by the power of His word. He created all things according to His wisdom, and He made visible the things that only previously existed in His mind. God formed out of what He thought, and that sets Him apart from created man. Also, we were reminded that He planned and determined for redemption of man before the foundation of the world was ever set in place. It was in the mind to redeem mankind, to have a plan. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, as Paul is opening up this particular text, he writes in verse 1, "I'm Paul of God, an apostle of Jesus, for the faith of the chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth that's according to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago," or before times eternal. God promised eternity and eternal life before the world ever began. We find that same sentiment over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, where Paul writes, "He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy for Him And in love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. So in the mind of God, salvation was set before he even created the world. And so all of those considered last week. This week we're going to address the reality of God as the God of order, a God who orders all things and sets them in place as revealed through this creation account. There are alternate erroneous accounts of the origins. They're not biblical. They're theories, in fact. One popular, made popular in the early 1900s, Darwinian evolution. His premise was that something had to happen, God creating all things, and so he proposed that man had his origins in a primordial muck. Somewhere there was some yuck, and it processed and evolved into a lism, and that living organism then evolved into something that lived in the water, and then eventually something that lived on the land, and then eventually something that lived on the land that could stand upright, such as apes, and then eventually into man. And as I mentioned last week, in my 61 years, I've never seen an ape give birth to a man or a woman, only apes. And so I find that to be certainly erroneous. There had to be some kind of alternative to God. Some have proposed a big bang of some sort where molecules exploded, finally resulted in complexities and mechanisms that we know as the heavens and the earth and life. And the promoters of theories and others that are formulated want you to buy into a fantasy that every complex system like hydrology, cosmology, geology, ecology, biology, human circulatory systems, nervous systems, muscle complexity, knowledge, all came together by chance and by accident out of an explosion. It has been said if you take all the parts to a Jeep and you put them in a room and you cause an explosion in that room, you could do it a million times, never formulate into that Jeep fully built. How can you have components that can't even be made into a piece of equipment, but you can have nothing but just muck or molecules and they explode and become complex systems such as humanity and plant life and animal life? You can't. It's a fantasy. I've mentioned it. They call it a theory. It's proven because we've not seen any evidence of any of that. But the Bible itself proves the truth from the Creator's point of view. And he has preserved that account for us through written word that can be traced back to the days of, which is way back in like 1445 BC, which is before Christ came. And that's the biblically calculated date of the Exodus. That'd be about 3,500 years ago. As early as Exodus 24, 4 and 7, there's evidence in the written record that God instructed Moses to write these things down in a book as God, Jehovah, directed him and shared with him. In fact, this morning as I read my Bible, I'm reading my Bible through again in Exodus chapter 34, verse 27, God commanded Moses, write these things down in your book, and he wrote. There's been writing going on about the things of God for a long time, and we have the record of those things that are most important before us right here. And so this morning we're going to look at this written word and establish God as the God of order. I ask you to stand with me as we read in chapter 2 of the very first book in the Bible, verses 1 through 3. It reads this way, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is creator. The only God who's creator. God who sustains that creation by his wisdom, his power. And Lord God, you will finish all things as you've directed and instructed in this book, the Holy Scripture, on an appointed day. We thank you, Father, that you give us instruction, this word, and that it's enlightened in our hearts by the person and power of the Holy Spirit, so that we might see you exalted, your Son, Christ Jesus, exalted to your glory regarding kingdom and, Lord God, a heaven in which we will spend eternity with you. Father, speak to our hearts this morning as we look to you as the God of order. And Father God, we pray there be any disorder, disharmony, chaos in our own lives, that Lord God, we can trust you as a God who can make order even out of that to your glory. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be seated. Thank you for standing. So these three verses give us a summary of the entire first chapter. When you read through the first chapter, there's a day-by-day of the creation account, the things that were created. And there is much we could speak about in that first chapter. We will certainly be going back and sharing some things through the next few weeks and over the next few months. But you will, some of you will remember, that over the past few months, we have been sharing some video presentations here in the sanctuary on Sunday evenings. There are presentations that have been put together by the For Creation Research, which is a group founded of scientists who are also Christians who have come together so that they can put to the test the things of the earth and in the world, show forth that Scripture is true in what it presents to us as humanity, and especially redeemed humanity, that we might know that God is not lying about the things that are found in the Scripture. Archaeological dig and every discovery that's made, whether it be in a lab or whether it be in space or on the earth, confirms what God has given to us in the written record. And over the course of time, we found the different facts. The earth's relation to the sun, the distance of it. It's a perfect distance. If it was any further away, we would freeze to death. If it was any closer, we would burn up. It moves at a speed tremendous. And yet we don't get flung off of the earth because God has a law in order, and it's called gravity. And it holds us on the earth while the earth is spinning at an enormous rate. And not only is it spinning, it's going around the sun at the same time. Enough to make me nauseous. And yet God has put controls in his laws around those things so that we're not flinging off the earth or finding a corner in which to expurge ourselves. We found some things out the last time we watched too about in the universe, about orbits, every planet. We have several planets in our own solar system, and out of those planets we find that there are each of those planets has moons, and those moons orbit. And a formalist, someone that was an evolutionist, would say all of them have to orbit in the same direction. And the fact of the matter is that's not true. Well, our moon orbits in a direction like the Earth is orbiting. Earth is going in this direction. The moon is going in that direction as well. And yet there are some planets in our very own solar system, Jupiter, Uranus, and Neptune, that have orbits not only orbiting in the opposite direction, but orbiting in both directions. Now, you might say, well, how do you know that? Well, I don't, but scientists do. And they said there are about 200 known moons in our solar system, and about 30 of them have backward orbits, but it's unique that these four planets have moons that orbit both ways. If you don't want to be confounded by God, these things. Interestingly, out of all the planets in our solar system, none has human life that's been discovered or any other known life forms on it but the Earth. Those planets are not made out of the same materials as those of the Earth. The atmospheres of those planets are not the same kind of conditions that we have on the Earth and suitable for human existence. In fact, every time we send people to the moon or towards other planets, we always have to put them in some crazy kind of costume to make sure that they can survive in an atmosphere that's not conducive to life. God has uniquely made the Earth so that man could exist. It's no accident that made the heavens and the Earth, and then it wasn't until a few days later they made the rest of the planets. Right? I'll talk louder. He made the Earth unique so that man could live upon it. I think back in Genesis 1, verses 14 to 18, I always find this amazing that in the first day he made light. But it wasn't until the fourth day that God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let it be for signs and for seasons, for days and years, and let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to divide on the earth. It was so. He made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made stars also. He placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth and to govern the day and the night and separate the light from the darkness, and God saw it was good. So there was evening and morning, a fourth day. The purpose, all the expanse of heavens, was not to have life on it and have redemption take place in those places, but they were for signs and seasons and times, days and years, right? At times. You know, the astrologers have gazed into the heavens to try and make sense of what's out there. And many, amazingly, with primitive telescopes, were able to document places where the stars are in and gave them names as such. God enabled man to be able to look out there, but to make sense of it, man has not made sense of it yet. In fact, every time there's a brand new, powerful telescope that can be the space, it goes further and further and further, and they keep coming back with pictures they can't explain. And they say, how come this universe is so big and deep we can't get to the end of it? Because you're not God. God made a big universe. You're not going to get to the end of it. You're going to see what he allows you to see. And that happened in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You remember that there were these astrologers that gazed into the skies and they determined a date and they looked at an amazing star that appeared that wasn't there before, and it led them to a place, Bethlehem, where they found a newborn king. Remember that? The Magi, stargazers. God gave them a different kind of sign in the sky. And they were largely influenced by a Hebrew way back in the days of the exile named Daniel, who also was a stargazer. He was one who could interpret dreams. He was a man God gave incredible gifts to. And you have to know him, those magicians and those astrologers in those kingdoms, so that they would be instructed in what God's word had to say about those signs in the sky. We can know that weather patterns and our dates are on what is seen in the sky. Ancient mariners and contemporary sailors alike use stargazing to navigate on the vast open seas. One of the video sessions shared that we, Institute for Creation Research, shared that mathematicians have used stars to look back and determine what weather conditions were like in past historical events. That's what they're there for, to help us know what's going on back then, not necessarily to tell us that there's life on those things, but that they reveal to us what God wants us to know about life here. All of this and more, according to God's marvelous intelligence, he is a God who is the God of order. One can notice by reviewing the first chapter carefully that the process of creation is a logical progression. It wasn't just thrown out there, happenstance, to take place. God arranged for the universe and the atmospheric conditions to be in place before he put vegetation and humanity on the planet. If you read chapter 2, verse 6, you find that the original earth had a different way of watering the planet that now exists. There was a mist that came out of the earth. It misted the morning dew that we have. That's dew that's condensation that sets from above and then comes up. But this mist would come out of the ground and water. They didn't know about rain until chapter 6 of Genesis, when the great flood took place in Noah's day. Then the great fountains of the broke open, and the firmament of the heavens broke open, and water came down from there and came up from the earth. That's how the earth was deluged. Covered in water, 22 feet above the highest mountain, according to Scripture. We've never had a rain like that, because God promised it to Noah in chapter 9. After the flood was over, he said, never again will I flood the earth with water. And I put a rainbow in the sky for that. That rainbow's not there for a gay pride parade. There to show us that God has made a promise regarding his power and his promise not to ever flood the earth by water again. When we look in the skies, we can see signs. We see how God has put things together. Atmospheric and ecological systems were in place, and then the animals and the man were created. Eventually, further in chapter 2 of Genesis, we find details regarding the creation of man and the assignments that were given for him living in this paradise, and we will look at that in the days to come. But notice the first three verses of chapter 2. The heavens and the earth were completed. I want you to hold on to that word, completed. It means made whole. It means perfection. And then it says completed again in that passage. Verse 2, by the seventh day he did his work that he'd done. Everything that needed to be done was done. There's no evolution that took place after creation. In fact, there's evolution, if anything. The second law of thermodynamics tells us that things are degrading over time. How they could improve and be better and make complex systems out of lesser systems is impossible. Laws that have been observed. And God made this place, the earth, gave assignments for man. He completed that work. And if you will look at the last verse, and God saw that all he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. There was evening and morning the sixth day. Everything he made was perfect. It was a perfect, unblemished garden until chapter 3 when sin came upon that garden. It was perfect in every way. It was orderly. Everything that needed to be in place was put there by God. There was no need for someone to come behind the Lord and have a punch list and evaluate and make sure everything was done correctly. It was perfect. It was finished. It was in order. Every detail taken. He called nothing into something by his power through his word according to his wisdom. And it was orderly. The first few verses of chapter 1 reminds us that God came into existence and he organized it so there'd be outer space with a necessary source of light and of heat, signs and seasons and times determined by these heavenly bodies. And then God equipped a planet called Earth. He put all the things necessary for life on the earth, water, vegetation, animals, mankind. He put his very breath of life upon it. He made it perfect. And as previously mentioned, he gave man stewardship to live in and care for that planet. And by chapter 3, all of that had changed. We find another origin, and that's sin. And that created chaos in God's otherwise orderly, perfect existence. God, proficient in perfection, because of his great wisdom and power, had a plan for redemption a moment ago, that God, even before the creation of the world, already had eternal life and a plan for redemption in mind. It wasn't a second plan. It wasn't plan B. It was what he had planned all along. He knew in a perfect place. That doesn't stop us. Listen, you have a perfect job. You have a perfect home, a perfect family, perfect car, perfect vacation. It's going to get messed up somewhere. Eventually, it'll be messed up. Why? We are selfish. We are prideful. This first sin that was committed was out of pride. It was out of hearing the devil say, well, if you eat of this, you'll be just like God. You'll know everything. Tempted them. Of course, Eve looked at it. It looked good. She heard that it was good to the taste. She lusted after it with her eyes because it was pretty. She lusted after it with her flesh because she thought, I want to eat something different. And then she said, I want to be like God. Who doesn't? We would do the very same thing. It is very presumptuous and prideful of you to say you wouldn't have pride like Eve. Because you would. We prove our own life that we have chosen things we want rather than what God wants. Even as believers, redeemed by the blood and filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing the Scripture, sometimes you and I do the very same thing, right? We're flawed. And yet God would take a people, a particular line of people. He would choose them as his own so through them might bring a redeemer. They knew him as the Messiah. We know him as the Savior. He'd come from God out of heaven to represent God in the earth. The old prophets referred to him as Messiah, chosen one, servant, anointed one. And he would come to us as an enigma. He'd be given an unusual birth, be born to a virgin. From a royal line, the lineage of King David, who was very flawed himself. He was supernaturally conceived and naturally born to a peasant couple, Mary and Joseph, in an obscure little Bethlehem outside of the Holy Land of Jerusalem. He was given the name Jesus, Yeshua, which means God saves, because he would save his people. That's exactly what the angel told Mary when she was informed she was going to be bearing this child, and that's exactly what the angel came and told Joseph. You call him Jesus, Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sin. Jesus lived a life of faithful service before the Father. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to heal and to deliver and to teach and to save those who would receive him. His message was that sinners must repent, turn to God for salvation. Jesus' message wasn't, hey, y'all, God loves you. It was, God has a kingdom, and you must repent to be a part of that kingdom. Trust him. That's what the message was. And when you do, you'll know God's love. There'll be no doubt you'll know God's love. Paul wrote later and said, God pours out his Holy Spirit into the hearts of those who believe. At conversion, he puts his love inside. You are filled with his love. That's when you know. That's when you don't have a doubt. It's when you can go to bed at night and you can know that if I die in my sleep, the Lord's going to usher me into his presence, because he puts that love in your heart. And the confirmation of the Holy Spirit, who brings what? The character of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. He brings those qualities to a life. And love is the first and foremost mentioned there. When Jesus came, he said, repent. The kingdom is near. Allow your hearts to be turned so that you might join this one who came from heaven. And Jesus was faithful. He extended this message to those who would believe. And that message is, come to me, all you who are weary and weighed down with all kinds of sin, and I'll give you rest for your souls. Like the Father in heaven, heaven and the earth, Jesus came to bring order out of chaos. And today we live in a day of chaos. And it's just growing worse. But we spare, because the God of order has sent the one who came to bring order to the soul, to the very life in which we live, no matter what the circumstances of life are and how difficult life may be for you. Your pain is real. Your hurt is deep. There is nothing shallow about it, and none of us should just push that to the side. It is real, but Christ comes to bring order. And you can know it if you know him. He brings order, because he's God in the flesh, who created the heavens and the earth and brought order out of nothing. And if the God order out of nothing enters into your life, he can bring order out of your chaos. And what all did Christ have to go through to do that? He went to a cross. We look at, we say, okay, he went to a cross, he got nailed there and he died and he came off the cross. But everything that was happening on that cross was something. When Christ Jesus went to that cross, he went there as a sacrifice. Thousands, millions of lambs and goats had been offered over the years, bulls and heifers, to pay the price, to shed their blood, innocent blood, for the people who were guilty. And when Christ went to the cross, he became the innocent, unblemished, sinless lamb that would offer himself up for our sin. His blood for our sin. And as he died there, 6 hours on the cross, we know at least three of them experienced with darkness in the middle of the day. And the scripture tells us that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the logical explanation is because Jesus Christ became sin for us. As he died on that cross, and the Father who loved his Son and the Son who loved his Father were separated in those moments while Christ carried the burden of sin and the judgment of God's righteous wrath against four believers. That's what the cross is talking about. That's what the cross is about. And you got to know he experienced chaos in our place. But because he was faithful, he went into the ground, was buried, scripture says 3 days, and God raised him. He was faithful because he did what God assigned him to do. As hard as that cup was for him to drink, he did it so that there could be order out of chaos. And he offers that order to every life that will say, Lord, my life is filth and sinful and unacceptable to you. And I must depend upon this Christ and yield to him. Jesus cried out and said, listen, if you can't deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. You got to allow him to come and take your chaos in order for you to experience order. And if you will trust him, you will know peace. Another characteristic of the Holy Spirit. He'll bring you love, peace, joy, even hardship. He will give you patience when you need it. He will help you to have goodness, gentleness. You'll be faithful. You'll learn how to be humble, and you'll have self-control, which none of these things you had before Christ. I know I didn't. I had self-sufficiency and pride and a high sense of self-worth and self-esteem, but I was nothing when I saw Christ in his holiness, broken by his goodness and my depravity. And I was grateful that he poured out his blood and covered me so that I might be cleansed of that and be saved. He brought me out of my chaos. And if you've not trusted Christ, this God who created the heavens and the earth and then ordered everything perfectly and in a proper order so that he wouldn't just throw animal beings on a planet that didn't yet have vegetation or didn't have the sun or didn't have the nighttime light. He put everything in order. That same God will give you order in your life. And as you trust him and walk through life, you'll find it to be true more and more and more every single day. And you won't despair when trouble comes. You won't despair when heartache comes. Oh, you'll be affected, but you won't, because you'll have hope. And you'll know that Christ, who walked that path before you, is walking with you now and in you to bring you through it, because he's a God of order. I pray, no matter what you experience in life, what the trial may be today, maybe at your job, maybe in your family, it might be in the community, there's a division or a problem with people that you work with and know. Maybe sitting at the ball game the other night, there were some crosswords. In the midst of all that, God, who provides order and direction, so that we might emulate him in this world. I pray, listen, believer, we're supposed to be like our Father who's in heaven. Let's be who are instruments of bringing order out of chaos and trusting in the one who does it supremely. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for living God. I thank you, Father, that you are the creator, that you have displayed your splendor. The heavens declare the glory of God. This earth declares the glory of God. Father God, man, in his pride, has made a mess of things in many ways. But thank you for the Redeemer. Thank you for coming to earth, form a man, and making order out of our mess. Thank you, Father, for entering into each individual believer's life and helping us, Father, now to be filled with your Holy Spirit and filled with your truth and qualities that you can use us to help bring order to others' experiences as you direct and guide us. Lord God, always depending upon your power to do that work, following your lead. I pray, Lord God, that we would leave here a people, great confidence in you, trusting in Christ Jesus, filled with your Spirit, and Lord God, being your display in this world through redeemed people who have been brought out of chaos into order. Be glorified. We pray Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I ask you to stand now as we respond. We will have the altar open. If you need to pray, I'll be here to pray with you if you need prayer. But let's take time to respond before we're dismissed today.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Pray together. Father, we are so grateful that we could come to this house today and to worship together. We're mindful, Father, there are many out of our congregation that have fallen ill over the past week or so. Pray for their healing and strength to return, that we can be together again and exalt our God together. Father God, as we depart this place, become your scattered people, we thank you for your accompanying us and, Lord God, filling us with it so that we're empowered to do that which you direct us to do, that we might lift you up in this world. Father God, you're worthy, and continue to help us to worship you even as we leave this place. All we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I would ask you to just for a moment, I'm going to ask Brittany to come forward. We have a certificate of baptismal for her and also a New Testament psalm and proverb from ministry. And so God bless you, Brittany, as you continue your journey. Lord God, may you grow. Glory to God. God bless you. Thank you. You can go back to your seat. Thank you. All right, I'll be out in the hallway. Brother Houston, close us up here.
All right, we're going to close with the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, of ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you. Have a great day.